Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
Welcome into episode 192 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Yaremchuk and Coombsy with you. And as always, the show is brought to you by Betano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year. The game starts now at Betano.ca. Coombsy, my only regret in this whole Ohtani fiasco, there was a point where I was like, I should just put $100 on him signing with the Dodgers when the odds really shrunk. Cause I was like, then if it doesn't happen, I'll have like $180 in my pocket and I won't be as upset. And if it does happen, I'll just pretend that I paid $100 for Ohtani to be a Blue Jay. I didn't do that. I regret it. And I probably should have done it.
But it seemed like it was certain, man. It seemed like it was a slam dunk. We were talking about it. We were ready to purchase our Shohei Ohtani Blue Jays jerseys. We were already drawing up hypothetical lineups. What are they going to do in this situation? You know, who's going to throw out the first pitch? Like, Ohtani's this and that, blah, blah, blah. Like, we were so certain that it was going to happen. And then,
When things were really getting going on Friday, to give people a little peek behind the curtain at Nation headquarters, we had not one, but two Shohei Ohtani Blue Jays Nation shirts ready to be dropped the moment it became official. And those will now forever live in the darkness. Although yesterday I was chatting with our boss, Jay, and he was like, should we maybe just drop them just for funsies? And I actually feel like some people might buy them like as a gag gift.
We can just make a slight edit to the bottom and just say runner ups. Like whatever the shirt says, Showtime 2023 runner-ups, Toronto Blue Jays, Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes 2023, second place, perhaps third place, maybe, allegedly.
I thought I was kind of over it, but just getting into things right now, reading the show notes you've prepared, this is going to be a painful episode, but let's dig into it. So when we did our last pod, it was kind of like, hey, feeling like it's starting to get closer to 50-50. You and I, both pessimistic at different points, were kind of both really buying in at that point of the sweepstakes. Like, okay, he doesn't fly to Dunedin if he doesn't firmly believe that he, or if there isn't a firm chance that he's actually going to make this leap. And then Friday, the plane gate. Everyone sees the plane leaving Southern California, coming to Toronto. And while that thing is in the air, speculation runs rampant that it's Shohei Ohtani. It absolutely peaks when John Morosi from MLB Network tweets out that it is Shohei on his way up to Toronto. And at that point, I mean, our pals at Blue Jays today, they were drinking beers out of water guns on their live stream. That is how excited they were. Coombsy, it felt like it was going to happen. And I think it's very notable to add in here, it felt like it was going to happen because reputable media members were saying it was going to happen.
Yeah, there was a pretty significant sentiment afterwards that it was like, whoa, don't just fall for like random gossip on the internet. Like, this is just shit that people are making up. Well, I mean, yeah, sure, the plane thing. But people wouldn't have ran with that quite as much if JP Morosi, who goes on Sportsnet, you know, once a week during the season to give what we all think in the audience is accurate news, if he didn't say Shohei Ohtani's on his way to Toronto, and that was Major League Baseball's official pages, their Twitter account, their Instagram account, they produce graphics saying that. They got everybody riled up. And then there was the Dodgers Nation guy, JP Hornstra or whatever. And I mean, he'd been right about a handful of things, kind of like minor league signings the Dodgers have done and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, I guess that's one where you probably could be a little bit skeptical, but he's a Baseball Writers of Associate, a Baseball Writers Association of America member. Like, these are supposed to be people that we're allowed to listen to. Otherwise, what's the point of having these titles? Why would you put BBWAA in your bio if it doesn't mean anything? I'm not really sure it does anymore.
Yeah, and that's kind of what really irked me. And I know it irked a lot of other Jays fans too, is when there was those big think pieces from people at Sportsnet, people from around the national media scene being like, yeah, like you said, this is why you can't just believe randoms on Twitter. This is why, like, journalistic integrity matters. And like, yes, I understand that. But the problem, your beef as a Baseball Writer of America or whoever at the end of this, your beef should not be with the fans who bought it. Your beef should be with your colleagues who spread inaccurate information. Where I'm willing to cut Morosi and Hornstra a little bit of slack is in the days after Ohtani signs with the Dodgers, and we'll talk about that contract in a bit, obviously, it kind of came out that the Jays were being used. I know a handful of different insiders have kind of said, you know, it was the Dodgers all along. This was Ohtani's camp's way of getting the contract they wanted from the LA Dodgers. I mean, it also is entirely possible that members of Ohtani's camp were leaking information just to get people riled up.
It is. It's entirely possible. And I mean, that's sort of the difficult thing. We're going to what we're all going to sort of draw from this is different things. There are people that are going to be, you know what? The Blue Jays were a finalist for Shohei Ohtani. He flew all the way to Dunedin. He listened to the pitch. He was interested. He chose them kind of as the runner up. There is a chance that he would have considered. We'll never know. It's only in his head. There are people that are going to believe that Rogers was ready to sign that contract. And then there's people that won't. They're going to think, you know what? The only reason the Blue Jays were involved is because they were the easiest. They were the easiest other team to get involved to make a big offer so that LA could wind up giving them more money, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of choose your own adventure, what you want to believe. But I mean, there are ultimately a lot of things do point towards the Blue Jays being really actually involved in this. I do believe that Rogers was prepared to make that offer. And I do think that if there was going to be, if this was all about simply negotiations and it was just the Dodgers all along and we needed to find some way to up their offer, then you'd think they would use the San Francisco Giants, divisional rival, you'd think, right? Or maybe the Texas Rangers. It's another team where it would make sense to kind of up the pressure. That just makes sense to me. Like to go come out of the blue and select the Toronto Blue Jays as the team that you're going to use as a bargaining chip to raise the offer of the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team in the National League West, I'm not sure it really necessarily fully adds up to me. So there's some conspiracy aspects that I'm like, interesting. But there's some where I'm like, I don't think the Blue Jays were just in this for a charade. I don't think this is the Yu Darvish situation.
100%. And I think what's interesting too is like, this isn't a guy from Southern California who the whole time it's like, oh, he's just going to go home and play for the Dodgers. Like the reason we bit so hard on this whole thing and the reason why I think that I agree with you, there probably was a point where Ohtani considered it is because the storyline made sense, right? He's an international guy. He doesn't have ties outside of playing for the Angels to Southern California. He doesn't have ties anywhere in North America. So the idea that Rogers would back up the Brinks truck for him, that from a business perspective, he can make a whole country fall in love with him and all of that. Like that, all those boxes kind of that were checked in the thinking of like, okay, why does it make sense for him to come here? Like they made sense. They were logical. So again, people love doing the hindsight of, oh, you didn't actually believe. How could you be so dumb to believe he was actually considering the Jays? But again, the player facility in Dunedin, this is a guy rehabbing a serious arm injury right now. Like that's a big check for the Toronto Blue Jays. Like it made a lot of sense. So some of the discourse that came out in the 24 hours after his decision, it just bothered me a little bit because it painted Jays fans to be idiots. And it's like, either you weren't paying attention or you're being intentionally obtuse in your criticism, because again, it made sense in the moment that it was happening.
It did. Like I just said, there's plenty of validity to think that Shohei Ohtani seriously considered the Blue Jays. And there's also validity to think that Rogers was prepared to offer far and away the biggest contract in franchise history. I don't know if they had $700 million US written down and that was something they were ready to do, or if they had drawn the line at 600. But I mean, again, like this is something that I think we've both echoed the same sentiment, which is coming up as the runner up or the finalist third fourth team Shohei Ohtani is better than being, look at all the other collection of teams in the major leagues that weren't involved. Even teams like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, those are names that are always involved in these sorts of players, and they weren't. There's a whole bunch of middling franchises where it's inconceivable. Like, if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, did you think that you were going to sign Ohtani? No. And I mean, for the Blue Jays, there was valid hope, and to have that valid hope guide you through, you know, November and into December, through the winter months of the baseball offseason, and to feel good about that, I think is a positive. And it's the same thing. The Jays have had two awful playoff losses in a row, and it sucks. Both of them were awful to watch for different reasons. The Twins one was just embarrassing to get squeezed out like that. The collapse against Seattle was brutal, but again, like, would you rather be losing those series in the playoffs or be finishing 80 and 82 every year and not being in the mix? Like, I don't want to be critical of people who, I don't want to be a gatekeeper and be like, oh, flippantly, like, you started cheering for the Jays in August of 2015, or you got interested in 2021. Or so. I don't want to be sarcastic like that. But at the end of the day, like, if you were around during the early 2000s, that whole decade, 2010s, even most of it, the Blue Jays weren't involved in any of this stuff, and simply just having them involved, I think, is better than not. And if you want to be one of those curmudgeon types who's just like, this is all Rogers propaganda to make you want to buy a phone and watch the Blue Jays, then sure, fine. You know what? That's fine. If you want to feel like you're superior for thinking that, then go for it. But at the end of the day, look, I've been cheering for the Blue Jays since the early 2000s. It was a dark fucking time. Times are better now, even though the times aren't great.
Yeah, I was just going to say, times are better now that the franchise isn't walking around pretending to be a small market team anymore. Like, that was ugly when you had to sit there and be like, oh, they're not signing anybody, and they're doing the whole drug budget. And it's like, well, hold up. No, I know you have billions of dollars. The fact that now, and again, even if you want to believe the Ohtani thing was a charade, you can look back to Kevin Gausman, Hyunjin Ryu, George Springer in more or less consecutive offseasons. And now I got the order wrong there. When this team or a front office likes a free agent, they go get them. And this was the same thing here. They were willing to go get Shohei Ohtani. He just had to choose them. So yes, it gave us a lot of fun for a couple of weeks there to follow this thing. And I think ultimately, as a Jays fan, as much as maybe you could call this a loser mentality, you can walk away from this going, we have a front office who is willing to go keep the competitive open and use their wallets to do so. And we have an ownership group in Rogers who, if they see something that they like and it makes business sense, they'll spend for it. They're not sitting there hugging the purse strings or whatever, however the saying goes. Like, they're willing to spend to make this team better.
Yeah, this isn't, look, within the past decade, we were sitting here talking about whether all the guys on the team could defer money, pass a hat around and throw some coins in so they can sign Irvin Santana and have a recognizable name in their pitching staff. That's what we were talking about within the last decade. This isn't even like 1998 stuff. This happened in like 2013, 14, like this is how far the thing has come since then. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's not like they just went for Ohtani or made it like with Darvish again. Like, I bring it up, like, they made that offer for Darvish. They were involved. And then, of course, they missed Doughty. They don't get him. And then what do? Nothing. And then this year, at least, you know, when they strike out on Ohtani, yeah, Juan Soto's not there anymore, but there's still Yamamoto, Bellinger, even re-signing Matt Chapman, Jorge Soler. There's still names. The Blue Jays are going to get somebody. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll talk about what could come next for the Toronto Blue Jays in a bit, but let's talk about that contract that Ohtani signs with the LA Dodgers. My prediction, I think, when this all started was that Ohtani would sign for 12 years and like 550 or 575 was my guess. 700 million, inconceivable. 700 million over only 10 years, bananas when I saw it. And then you see the structure of the deal and the fact that the contract will only pay him $2 million per year for that first 10 years, with $68 million per year deferred until after the contract ends. He'll have a $46 million luxury tax cap hit rather than a $70 million one. And the $700 million price tag grabs your attention. But I mean, I am not a smart economics major or anything like that. I know $680 million in today's dollars versus 10 years from now dollars is not the same. Like, as much as this is a $700 million contract, it's also weirdly not a $700 million contract. They gamed the system a little bit, which we'll get into. It's a very confusing thing to try to break down, is kind of my point.
Yeah, this is why things like this are so difficult to predict, where you sit there and talk about, oh, who's got the cash for Ohtani and what does it look like? Oh, the Jays could do this, the Dodgers could do that, the Angels. It's so hard to predict this stuff because who had this predicted? Shohei Ohtani is going to take two schmills in cash over the course of his 10-year deal per year and then get a bunch of money after. What this looks like to me, and again, like you said, I'm not an expert in this kind of stuff at all. I'm sort of speculating, and this is largely an aggregation of what I've read, just what people are talking about as well, is that this sort of looks like you're going to get some amount of ownership of the team eventually as time goes along. We always talk about that here, of course, in Edmonton. If Connor McDavid resigns with the Oilers, you'd think that long term that results in you owning a portion of the team, like Mario Lemieux in Pittsburgh. That was a thing that happened as well. So maybe that's how this cash thing is going to work out. But he's also apparently got wording in his contract that essentially demands the Dodgers use his, and I think it was Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated who had this, and he said, based on Ohtani's generosity with his contract, the Dodgers have to there and spend competitively every single season, or he might have some kind of opt-out or something like that. I'm not sure about the specifics, but there is apparently writing in the contract that demands they use that savings to spend to be competitive. So I don't think the Dodgers are done this winter. There's more left when it comes to them building their all-star team.
Is this good or bad for the game? That's the question that's been floated around a lot as of late, and I think it's an interesting one. On one hand, part of the beauty of baseball is that you can spend, right? Like, no, if your team stinks, you can almost always directly point to your ownership and go, if you spent a little, you could buy us a better team. And I like that they don't have the hard cap in that sense, because again, as a fan of a team with money, it gives them the option to go out and keep players if they want to. All they got to do is spend. On the other hand, this, like, if the Dodgers would have just went and spent $70 million a year on Ohtani, I would have been like, whew, hurts your chances to maybe sign some other guys with the luxury tax, but damn it, I respect that. This feels greasy to me in a way. It feels like it's gaming the system a little bit, and now we're going to have to sit and watch as the Dodgers go build an all-star team, and I'm not convinced that that is good for the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm of a few minds on this one. I remember... It's got to be, what, like 12, 13 years ago that LeBron James signed in Miami, and they that was the first kind of modern era super team built through free agency, where Chris Bosh leaves Toronto, signs in Miami, Dwayne Wade's already there, LeBron James signs there, and people were pissed. They were upset because he left Cleveland, the loyalty thing. I don't know, like having the Miami Heat be the villain of the NBA at that time, I don't think was necessarily a bad thing. I think it was good for narratives. It was fun, but I don't know if it's unlocked a positive thing. I don't know if the NBA is now better, that players are always talking about moving around. And as soon as a guy enters the league, it's like, oh, he was friends with this guy in the past, or this guy and this guy share an agent. They're going to go play for this team, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if it is or if it's good or bad. I'm not really a huge NBA guy, but it also has a huge following. There's a lot of people that love following this kind of stuff, the rumors and the gossip, and maybe that's just what MLB will sort of move to as time goes along. Maybe that's what all of the sports leagues are going to move to, more player movement, more free agency, more of that. I'm not really sure, but that like what you said, this is sort of a reality of baseball, is it has the capacity for super teams, because teams are allowed to go out and spend. And it's been quite some time since a team like the Yankees went out and just built an impossible expensive roster that just did amazingly well. Like the Mets tried to do this last year. They made all these huge acquisitions and it just didn't work out at all. You know, you look at the LA Dodgers and it's not a perfect roster. Like they don't have a great pitching staff. The depth isn't spectacular. Look, this is a team that hasn't gone deep in the playoffs in a few years. So you never know. Like I don't think MLB, it's bad necessarily to have a villain like the Dodgers, where everyone can root against them. They're kind of like the evil empire Yankees now. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, but I'm a little skeptical of this whole thing. Like it doesn't feel like it's fair. What's the point of having competitive balance tax if there's going to be a way around it like this, right? Being an NHL fan, what this feels like to me is we're now setting the table for the next lockout.
Oh man, that is a spooky thought. Like the idea that if the Dodgers are so good for the next number of years that every other team or almost every other team would just band together and go salary cap time. And it's like, oh boy, now we're really going to get to an interesting spot. I like what you said about the villains. I know our boy Brett, our producer, is a big Dodgers guy. Like I can't wait to watch them lose. I think the memes of them, and it's like, can't wait for the 110 win Dodgers to lose to the 84 win Rockies next year in the wild card round.
Right.
I will be rooting against them so hard. And I'm kind of excited to root against them now. So maybe having the presence of a villain in Major League Baseball is good. Granted, if they actually are a super team and they win 120 games next year and then steamroll their way to the playoff or through the playoffs and win a World Series, it will feel lame. I just won't watch the World Series then. Oh, well. But the idea of this thing going up in flames and not working in year one, it sounds so delicious to me. I really, really want to see that storyline play out. So in that sense, I'll probably be paying closer attention to the Dodgers than I have in years past. But you mentioned they need a lot still. There's talk today as we record this that they're finalizing or close on a deal to get Tyler Glasnow from the Tampa Bay Rays. So it will be fascinating to see how they load up this roster in the next month.
Yeah, there's apparently the trade coming through Glasnow, and there's talk about, there was speculation, it was Randy Arozarena based on an Instagram post he made. It showed a picture of him and Ohtani at the baseball classic. I don't know if that means anything. And there's also talk about the Dodgers being in on Yamamoto as well. I'm sure that they're going to continue to have a big offseason. It'll be interesting to see if any more players sign these deferral contracts or if this is going to be just an Ohtani thing. Because his agent after the deal was signed kind of went on and said, well, Shohei Ohtani's the most unique player in baseball, so he's going to sign the most unique contract. And I wonder if this is something we're going to see, because I bring up the point about this being a topic of the next lockout. I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world if Ohtani's the only one that does it. But if next offseason we see the Mets going and doing this, and then we see the Yankees doing it because the Mets did it, and then the Giants have to do it because the Dodgers did it, and then, hey, maybe the Jays go and do something like this, and then you have five or six teams doing it, and then your entire middle class and lower class of whatever sub $100 million payroll rosters are going to be pissed, because this is how a lot of teams, like Oakland A's owner John Fisher, this is how he makes all of his cash, is through recircling the money that the rich teams spend. So, look, if the Dodgers are going to be able to get through with paying considerably less for Ohtani on the luxury tax, then this might be a problem.
Someone had a tweet, and it was while Ohtani was still deciding, and it's like, the Oakland A's have offered Ohtani $1 a year for 700 million years. And then at the end, they quote tweeted it and go, actually not that far off. And it's like, yeah, it's, when you look back, it's basically a 20-year deal here for Shohei Ohtani with the way his money is spread out. I think the Arozarena thing is absolutely hilarious, because he also feels like the type of guy who knows exactly what he's doing when he posts that and might just be trying to get that thing going in the right direction. So we'll see. The Dodgers, they are, like you said, there's apparently wording in the contract that they will spend on the team for Shohei Ohtani. Let's talk about what's next for the Toronto Blue Jays, or we will talk about what's next for the Toronto Blue Jays. But first, we're going to step aside for a quick break.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coombsy, it took less than 24 hours or less than 36 hours or whatever from when Ohtani signed to when the Cody Bellinger rumor started popping up. His wife goes on Instagram, shares a nice Instagram story of the Toronto skyline and the CN Tower, and everyone's going, giddy up. We're ready to do it again. We're ready to get our hearts broken again. What do you make of this Bellinger talk? I mean, the idea that he could command $250 million in free agency has me, the price tag has me worried. But again, at the beginning of this offseason, I said he was my dream target. So I got to stand by that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm skeptical of Bellinger. I've always been a Cody Bellinger guy. Like I'll say, after talking a lot of crap about the LA Dodgers, that they were my second team for a while. They were my National League team. I'm talking about this in the past tense. They're no longer my National team. I got to find a new NL West team. Cody Bellinger was a great player for the Dodgers for years. And then he messed up his arm playing in the playoffs in 2020, making, I think it was a great catch in the outfield or something like that, injured himself and just hasn't really been the same since. And then signed the 1-year deal with Chicago and had a lot of good basic numbers, you know, good batting average, good OPS, hit some bombs. Everything kind of looks good. But then a bunch of the stats people on Twitter have pointed out his hard hit rate is quite poor. So this kind of like the opposite of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in that he is not hitting the ball very hard, but found good results. And that's maybe not the profile that you want, but I don't know, because I've also just spent the past couple of years watching Vladdy hit the piss out of the ball and having, you know, some of the better, the all red thing on a Baseball Savant. And you're like, oh yeah, this guy should be good, but he's not, unfortunately. So I don't know. Maybe Bellinger in Toronto makes a lot of sense. The money seems huge. I don't think the Jays should go ahead and strike out on Ohtani and then sign a terrible contract in free agency. And I worry that Bellinger is the player that might be the terrible contract in free agency. So, but you also don't want to come up empty handed, because there's a lot of spots in the roster you have to fill. And then also you got the fans all riled up about Ohtani. You got to sell all these tickets, all these premium luxury tickets where people are going to be. The word was that they were coming in 3 or 5 year contracts for those luxury seats, the new ones. So getting people to invest that amount of money over a period of time where you're not really sure if the team's going to be good for years to come, right? Bo and Vlad are 2 years each away from free agency. Maybe the window's on its way to closing, and you kind of have to do something this winter to prove otherwise. And I guess signing Cody Bellinger might be that, but I don't know how much he really moves the needle or if that even winds up being a good deal at all.
MLB.com, there's an article up there ranking the best landing spots for Bellinger. The Jays are listed at number one. Another player who they reportedly had some level of interest in but is now off the board is Jung-Hoo Lee. The Giants agreed to terms with him on a 6-year, $113 million contract the other day. So he's off the board as well. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks there's more upside in Bellinger than Chapman, right? Like, if Matt Chapman's going to go and get an offer from someone for $180 million, and then you can spend $225 and get Bellinger, I think I choose Bellinger in that situation.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think based on the Blue Jays and their positional needs and maybe the upside, you probably go with Bellinger. But we've talked about this before. I think Matt Chapman's kind of become, how do you word this for Blue Jays fans? He's kind of become something you get sick of when you watch him too much. And I mean, we have to think back to 2 years ago before there was Matt Chapman, and we were watching the Kevin Biggio, Santiago Espinal, Jake Lamb, Breivik Valera, whatever the hell at third base, and that sucked. And Matt Chapman showed up, and look, his at-bats are not always fun to watch. More often than not, they're very painful to watch, because I have never seen anyone strike out through like middle fastballs at, you know, mid-90s miles per hour than that. But his defense is so good that I think the Blue Jays will lose a tremendous amount. Like, there's a lot of pitch to contact guys that rely on defense a little bit in their rotation. And I think we're kind of underrating how important Matt Chapman's been to the Blue Jays in the past couple of years because of how frustrating his at-bats are. And I understand, like, Matt Chapman on a $200 million deal to put up like a 750 OPS, it's not the best, but look at the market, man. Look at what people are getting paid. Like, Lee got paid way more by the Giants than, I think he got paid twice as much as what he was projected to get by MLB trade rumors. So like, the free agent market's going wild. So Blue Jays Rogers found $700 million, apparently, something thereabouts, to pay for Ohtani. These contracts shouldn't be that detrimental, perhaps.
I don't think there's, like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, if you were ready to commit $60 to Ohtani, go commit $25 to Bellinger and go commit $20 to Chapman, and there you go. But I think it was pretty obvious that there was a larger business case to be made for spending that money on Ohtani. Like, you sign Ohtani, you instantly sell tens of millions of dollars in jerseys. You sign Bellinger, not too many kids are waking up Christmas morning with a Cody Bellinger Jays jersey under the Christmas tree, right? As much as I think he's going to be an impactful player, not the same star power there. So I don't think we should be expecting the Jays to go now just spend $70 million on free agents for this upcoming season. Another disappointing part about the market right now is that it's kind of heavy in on pitching. I mean, when you look, the White Sox are looking to move an arm. We have the Glasnow rumors to the Dodgers, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Blake Snell. Like, there are a lot of arms, and the Jays don't need arms really, right? Like, their rotation feels kind of set for next season, but there is still talk. They're kind of nibbling around the edges in the mix on Yamamoto. Are you buying it at all? I don't have any faith that they're going to get this guy, as much as I would love it. And I think he's an electric talent. This feels like a Dodgers Yankees big market kind of signing.
Yeah, I think it does too. It sort of feels like there's going to be that handful of teams that are all sort of in the mix. There's the Dodgers, there's the Mets, there's the Yankees, Blue Jays, maybe the Red Sox, probably the Cubs, teams like that. Maybe you'll see the Texas Rangers in there, whatever. And there's going to be a handful of teams. And like you said, it's probably going to be between the Yankees or the Dodgers. There's always been an indication that the Yankees were his destination. He wants to play under the big lights at Yankee Stadium. But then also, of course, Ohtani signing in LA makes this a bit of a game changer. Maybe he'll go join forces with Ohtani on the Dodgers. Who knows? I would be shocked if the Blue Jays signed Yamamoto, but you know, maybe they might see this and be like, you know what, we got to offer an absurd contract to somebody this offseason to generate some hype, and I'd rather do it to a 25-year-old pitcher who won the Japanese version of the Cy Young Award 3 years in a row and kind of extends our core more so than Chapman, who's already 30. Bellinger's a couple years younger, but again, like, a little bit more of a risk long-term. And then, like you said, like the Blue Jays have a pretty set rotation next year. You have Gausman, Berríos, Bassett, Kikuchi, and Alek Manoah. Mitch White's on the 40-man roster. Again, Ricky Tiedemann's in the mix. It's a handful of names to fill out a pitching staff. But then again, you can also sell high on Yusei Kikuchi, who's 1 year away from free agency. And given the way contracts are going, if he has another season like he did in 2023, he's going to command it. Like a stupid sum of money that you're probably not going to want to pay. So you may as well get out in front of it and go sign a pitcher now, trade one of your other veteran pitchers for somebody else. Maybe that's how they're going to do it. Honestly, it's really hard to say. When Ohtani was on the market, there was like a very clear path for the Blue Jays. This guy will be a game changer for you. He's a perfect fit. Now there's a bunch of players who are, you're kind of a good fit, but maybe this guy's a better fit. Maybe you're not a fit. There isn't anything perfect now. Nothing's that straightforward. So it's difficult to predict what's going to happen next.
The only thing is if there's a player on the trade market that we haven't even speculated about yet, right? And I know our boy Brennan Delaney is doing God's work on Twitter, riling up other fan bases, throwing out all sorts of names, guys like Luis Robert from the Chicago White Sox. I don't think there's that big, big splash coming for the Jays just because I don't think their system has the oomph needed to go get it unless a team is madly in love with Alek Manoah and is willing to treat him in terms of trade value like you would treat a young potential ace. I don't see that though. So I think the most likely outcome here is the rotation's being ran back the same as it was last year. And this team just goes into next year with one of Matt Chapman or Cody Bellinger on the roster. And they're going to just nibble around the edges for the rest, right? Like if they go get, let's say it's Bellinger, then they'll go sign a veteran third baseman to just try to be a bit of a stopgap there. If they bring back Chapman, they'll go sign Jorge Soler to be an extra power bat or Teoscar Hernandez to be a power bat in the outfield. I think they're going to get one of those two guys and nibble around the edges. Do you have a different prediction for how things will play out?
No, that sounds about right. I think it's going to be more, not the exact same version of what we saw last year, where it was a whole bunch of guys coming in on 1 year deals, but it might be a shorter term thing where, like I said, you don't miss out on Shohei Ohtani and then sign two contracts that completely hemorrhage you for years to come. You don't sign, you know, Bellinger and Chapman for a combined $650 million because then it makes it impossible to re-sign Bo and Vlad or add anybody next year. And then it's just disaster. I don't think that's necessarily the move. So there are names in the trade market. The one that I keep circling back to is Jose Ramirez from Cleveland, because you have a bunch of teams with difficulties with their TV contracts and revenue. There's always been talk about Jose Ramirez in Cleveland because of the Cleveland Crew connection. Mark Shapiro, of course, is very familiar with Jose Ramirez. And there was talk about him a few years ago. There was a, who was it? Was it Carlos Barga or whatever his name was that like said it was on the finish line. So before there was the Ohtani saga, there was the Ramirez saga. We've gone through this so many times now. That's the player that I'm going to get on board with. I was really on board with Jose Ramirez as a Blue Jay a few years ago, and I'm going to get back on that train now.
Man, if Cleveland's TV deal is causing them financial problems, like we just said a couple minutes ago, there doesn't seem to be a perfect fit. He actually is still a perfect fit for this team. When you look at a switch hitting third baseman, like it's exactly what they need. He's both Bellinger and Chapman at the same time. We'll see. Maybe he shakes loose in Cleveland. You're giving us hope to end the podcast, Coombsy, and I appreciate that. That'll be a wrap on episode 192 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Shohei signs with the Dodgers. Part of me says we should have seen it coming all along, but I will never trade those memories of that brief 2-hour window when we believed Ohtani was going to be a Blue Jay. Coombsy, as news breaks, we'll keep dropping new episodes of this podcast. So if you're listening, make sure you hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast from, and go find us on YouTube as well, where you can watch the podcast in video form. Coombsy, thanks for doing this, buddy. And we'll chat again soon.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.